Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to The Zurian Show. As always, we hope that we bring you the best of health, we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirits, and that we find you in the best of all of the above. As always, we try to bring you information that is useful, inspirational, and also stuff that you can share with other people, and by sharing that information, help them to understand that they, too, can live their dreams, or in some cases, that they may be going through similar things than you. Today we're going to talk with a young man that has accomplished much and is looking to accomplish much, much more in his life. Today's show is Diversity of Inspiration, and we're going to have the pleasure and the honor of speaking again with a young man that, again, like I was saying, is already accomplished. You know, he's already an attorney, and of course, he was born and raised in the Washington, D.C. metro area in the suburbs of Prince George County in Maryland. And after graduating from Crosslands High School with, of course, phenomenal grades, he ended up going to Michigan State University. I'm having a problem talking today. And, of course, graduating from that institution, getting his bachelor's in political science and pre-law, and then from there going on to actually getting his Juris Doctor from the University of Iowa in law in 2000. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we have the honor of speaking with a young man that is definitely what I would say is a go-getter and someone that also has aspirations to be more and do more and is constantly working to improve himself so that he can reach those goals. Today, again, our special guest is Mr. Robert W. Brown, Jr., or if he says it, Robert W. Brown, and he's going to share with us some of his thoughts, some of his opinions, and tell us a little bit about what he's doing and what he's got going on. Without any further ado, Robert, how you doing today?
Z, I'm doing great. So glad to be here. So thankful to be on your show, and I'm looking forward to a great time.
Outstanding. Well, we truly appreciate you coming on, and again, being an inspiration and sharing all of the information and the things that you've gone through. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody would like to call in, if you have any questions or comments for Robert, the number is 323-443-7471. Again, that's 323-443-7471. But with no further ado, let's move on. Robert, could you tell us a little bit about you?
Well, thank you, Z. I'm a native Washingtonian and Marylander. Grew up pretty much in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. Did my undergrad work at Michigan State. I'm a diehard Spartans fan. I went to the University of Iowa College of Law. I'm licensed to practice in D.C. I've practiced law. I've done recruiting and project management. And currently I'm doing business development in the legal staffing and managed review sector. I wanted to share a couple of my thoughts about the legal market, you know, how law school is going today. The Law School Admissions Council, LSAC for short, recently reported there's a hair under 56,000 applications to law school for the 2013-2014 year. Now, that's a 13.5% decline from the previous year. Law school enrollment is also trending downward. In 2011, slightly under 49,000 students entered law school, and that was about 7% less than a year before. You know, I myself recently attended an alumni function for my law school that took place in D.C., and the dean mentioned that the incoming class of my own school was one of the smallest in recent memory. Now, what is this attributed to? Is there an oversupply of lawyers? Perhaps. You know, law schools pump out about 40,000 graduates per year. There are only about 27,000 vacant positions requiring bar passage for those attorneys to apply for, not to mention other licensed attorneys who have graduated in previous years who are also applying for those same positions. So the numbers can get staggering and, unfortunately, somewhat discouraging when new graduates honestly assess their job prospects.
Wow. Yeah, I know a young lady that actually graduated from law school not too long ago, and she ended up leaving the country because she couldn't find employment.
Yeah, that's indicative of the current economic climate that we're in. And as you know, Z, you know, we live in a global economy right now, so there are a lot of opportunities overseas that, you know, in a lot of cases just aren't here in the United States yet. And, you know, I encourage all law school graduates and those who have, you know, passed the bar exam, are aspiring to pass the bar exam, you know, go after those opportunities wherever they may lie.
That's interesting. I noticed, too, that, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, so I come across a bunch of different people in the business arena. And I come across actually quite a few lawyers that aren't practicing. I don't ask them why. But, again, some of the things that you said definitely point to those reasons why it may be for them.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
you know,
go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Oh, I was going to say there are a lot of different factors that are, you know, affecting the market. There are e-discovery trends affecting the market. You know, there are a lot of different things with regards to technology, how the industry is moving, and it's making the practice of law much more dynamic than it was in, say, the past.
True. Totally understand. Well, tell us more.
Well, you know, the reason I say that trends in e-discovery are affecting the legal job market is because, you know, the technology part in the early part of the EDRM, and for those listeners who don't know what the EDRM is, the Electronic Discovery Reference Model, the EDRM, it's basically a nine-step process consisting of managing the electronically stored information, or ESI, identifying, preserving, forensically collecting, processing, reviewing, and analyzing it, and producing it either to the government or opposing counsel and then presenting it for trial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, on the left, it's if you were to look at a diagram of the EDRM, it's almost like somewhat of an assembly line. And on the left of the EDRM, that's where the more robust and efficient processes are coming. The more efficient you are in the beginning of the process, the less people you need in the middle of the process to review the document. Now, this is not a drastic change as of yet, but you are seeing the beginning stages of the shift in importance to more efficient technology to streamline the overall EDR process. There's also a thing called predictive coding that's affecting the industry more and more. And this is speeding up the EDR process. It's making it more efficient. And predictive coding is basically the marriage of machine learning and workflow to drastically reduce the amount of documents that review attorneys need to review manually. Now, for instance, you know, you can have 500,000 documents which need to be reviewed for, let's say, a patent infringement matter. A senior partner on the matter can take a seed set of 1,000 documents and review them for responsiveness, privilege, and, you know, what we call the industry hot documents, and basically teach the computer what are the important documents from one of the non-relevant or non-responsive documents. And that algorithm is then applied to the remaining 499,000 documents, and then the computer does the rest. So let's say at the end of the predicting coding process, the computer has identified 30,000 responsive documents out of the previous 499,000 that attorneys need to review. So this drastically reduced cost and time, and this is things that clients are finding very attractive in our current economic climate.
Okay. And you've also, if I remember correctly from when we talked, you've also worked a lot with patents and things of that nature in the past, so you definitely have hands-on experience.
Yes, I worked in a patent infringement, personal injury, securities litigation, did some bankruptcy. It's affecting, you know, a lot of different areas of the law, and, you know, attorneys are really forced, you know, to take a second look at how they're conducting business, you know, how they can apply these technologies to save themselves time and to save their clients' costs.
Phenomenal. So is that how you came up with the concept for the business that you've created?
No, well, you know, the way I came up with the concept, I was working as an attorney in a big law, Pennsylvania Avenue law firm in D.C. in 2008. The recession intensified, and I found myself having been laid off 10 days before Christmas of all the times to get laid off. And at the time, I didn't have any real job prospects. Yeah, it was tough. You know, and as others who have been downsized can attest to, you know, the situation completely blindsides you. I did a contract attorney work reviewing documents myself in litigation matters for a few months following in 2009 when I realized that it was truly time for me to take greater control of my career situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, personally, see, I've always had a passion for the English language, for writing, for prose and script. When I worked at the Department of Labor in the early to mid-90s, I had a few articles published in one of the department's agency magazines. So writing and publishing has always been an interest and a love of mine. I decided to start a company in 2009 called Precision Script. And this company specialized in copywriting and proofreading written text for authors. Now, the ironic thing is that right after I set up the company, got incorporated and began drafting a detailed business plan, I was offered a job with a major international corporation doing staffing and project management. And that kept me busy for about 2 years, and unfortunately it took my focus off of Precision Script. Now, after leaving that company in 2011 and working for a few more companies the following year, I had the great fortune of meeting a gentleman by the name of Glenn Garnes in a networking function in August of 2012. Now, I was immediately impressed with his professionalism, his demeanor, his passion for helping small businesses. He and I kept in touch, and I attended a few of his events in the following months. Now, I had the opportunity, you know, at some point after we'd initially met, to share with him, you know, Precision Script and how I'd gotten sidetracked with getting it off the ground. He then suggested that I expand my vision past just copy editing and proofreading and offer a whole suite of resources for authors, yeah, specifically self-published authors who want to take greater control of the publishing process in their own writing careers. And that's basically when the Writer's Silo was born. That's the name of the online website that I'm developing.
Outstanding. And I definitely, as you know, I know Glenn Garnes. He owns and operates Small Business CEO and also works with Smartly Spaced. And he also has another initiative that's actually about to take off, which is Connect the World, which is probably going to be huge. And Glenn's also a retired actual attorney. So you definitely found a good person to use as a consultant for your future gains. But please continue.
Oh, absolutely.
About this.
Well, you know, as far as, you know, what the Writer's Silo is going to do is, you know, I've, you know, through my professional experiences, you know, I've realized that, you know, not only I want to take more control of my own career, but I want to empower others to do the same. Now, the model now for authors who wish to get their books published is to draft a book proposal, secure a literary agent, you know, who will then present the book proposal to a publishing house. Then if the publishing house decides to publish your book, then the author has to take into consideration how the book will eventually be distributed and what the costs are going to be. So the standard process has a lot of middle parties eating to the eventual profits that will end up in the pocket of the author who came up with the creative idea for the book in the first place. Now, that's a model that works. And it works for a lot of people. But the goal of the Writer's Silo is to provide another avenue for writers not only to write their books but to create a viable marketing strategy to create an audience for their books and thus keep more of the profit at the end of the process. You know, the Silo will have, you know, offer nominal fee memberships, which include an online curriculum for aspiring self-publishing authors to walk them step-by-step through the self-publishing process from the initial stages of, hey, I'm thinking about writing a book, to, hooray, I just made my first sale.
Very cool. So a cradle to almost grave type of deal there.
Yes, absolutely. And once again, the goal of the Writer's Silo is to empower self-published authors to have all the resources that they need in order to get their books published, to create that audience, and to make profit. And, you know, at some point in the future, if they so choose, to make a career out of doing self-publishing.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. Matter of fact, I just had a lady on actually this week that actually she wrote a book that evidently seems to be very popular. But please continue.
Well, you know, some of the things that the Writer's Silo is going to include, once again, is a curriculum for paid members. You know, it's going to have lessons that the members can go through. Topics of the lessons will include such things as how do I come up with a creative book idea? Overcoming writer's block, copy editing and proofreading your book for clarity of communication, choosing the right cover art, graphic design, getting your ISBN number, and even things like the art of the pre-sale, earning profits off of your book before you even write it. And that's something that, you know, I'm really confident that Glenn is going to help me with. And the curriculum is going to be a combination of both my contributions as well as the contributions from other self-published authors, industry professionals, business owners, book coaches. We're going to have online interviews, and once again, Glenn is going to be involved to assist me in this endeavor. And once again, my goal is to gather all of the expertise that I possibly can to make the process of profiting from self-publishing as easy and as transparent as possible for these aspiring self-published authors.
That's outstanding, because you're definitely that's definitely a service that's needed, because I know there's a lot of people out there with a wealth of information and knowledge. However, most of them take it to the grave because they don't know how to get to that next step. So that's a huge thing you're doing.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? It's funny, because when I was really developing the plan for the Writer Sallow and doing some brainstorming with Glenn and thinking about, you know, what I wanted this website to be and the value proposition that I wanted it to have for self-published authors, I got an email from my father. Now, mind you, I didn't tell my father anything about this idea. He told me, you know, hey, Rob, in an email, he's like, hey, Rob, I'm thinking about writing a Western novel. I've drafted the first few pages. What do you think? And I was like, wow, this is amazing, because this is exactly the type of service and the type of value proposition that someone like my father, who is an aspiring Western novel writer, can really find, you know, value in and can really get a lot out of. You know, and it was just so ironic that just at the time when I was, you know, developing the idea for the Sallow, my dad came up with, you know, the email saying that he wanted to write a Western novel himself. And that was even more inspiration for me to take positive steps to developing the Sallow. And the Sallow is also going to have a directory of strategic alliance partners who can assist the authors in the self-publishing process. And these strategic alliance partners are going to include copy editors, proofreaders, ebook consultants, graphic art designers, website designers, transcriptionists. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Wow. Could you tell us more about, well, you kind of did. You touched on it a little bit, but your decision to take control of your own professional and financial destiny and how you're doing all of that at the same time.
Well, great. Yeah, I'd love to share that. I think it's, you know, a combination of being downsized in 2008. I was once again downsized in 2012. You know, I see the current economic climate that we live in, and it's just a greater desire for freedom and autonomy in an age where it appears more and more that, you know, if the government doesn't have control over some aspect of your life, then it's some huge corporate entity that does. You know, this brings your career, and for that matter, your entire life into focus and makes you ask the question, and I know, Z, this may be cliche, but you think to yourself, where do I want to be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and how do I want to get there? You know, and I think, you know, for me, and I think for other people, you know, you need to take an honest self-assessment, not so much as to what they're currently doing, but what they truly want to do. You know, what is their innate passion that is literally buried in their DNA? You know, for instance, let's say a person is working as a parking attendant full-time, and let me preface this, Z, by saying there's nothing wrong with being a parking attendant, but they want more out of life than just that. You know, and let's suppose this person has a passion for food preparation, food display, or food service, and they've always wanted to own their own catering business. You know, I'm a firm believer that this is something that is well within the reach of that person. You know, now, will it involve ample research? Absolutely. Probably more schooling at some point, a lot of sacrifice, but it's doable. Now, that person should align themselves with successful business owners and caterers through networking functions and other venues to put as many pieces together that they possibly can to give themselves the greatest chance for success in breaking into the catering industry. You know, finding a mentor, having the courage to ask someone who is where they want to be, will you be my mentor? You know, now, of course, the process always involves trial and error. I think things like this, endeavors like this always do. And that's fine, as long as, you know, you learn from your errors and you don't repeat them, you know. And, you know, what would be wise is to keep a journal of this journey so that the former parking attendant turned successful catering business owner can take these notes, write a book about the journey, and self-publish their own success story. I hope it's okay. It's a plug for the Writer Sallow.
Outstanding. Right quick, could you tell people how they could get in contact with you if they want to learn more about you and your services?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be delighted to hear from any and all of your listeners today. You can get a hold of me at info@writerssallow.com. That's info@writers, and it's WRITERSSILO.com. And the website is going to be writerssallow.com. It's still under construction, but I am definitely in the process of getting things finished up, getting my list of strategic alliance partners and launching probably within the next 6 weeks. So please stay tuned.
Roger that. And also, ladies and gentlemen, the email address for Robert is also on the website, so you can look at that. So whether you're listening to the show now or you're listening to us later on, we're always with you. And again, share this show with other people that may be aspiring writers or may want to just have somebody to talk to that may be a good role model for them, as in somebody that's actually going for their aspirations and actually is going to take that step. Please continue, Robert.
Well, once again, I invite all listeners, and, you know, even if you are listening to this show and you don't really have a passion yourself for writing but may know someone who does, you know, please direct them to the website. You know, I'm here as, you know, an entrepreneur, an attorney, and a valuable business network partner to all who are open to that. I think, you know, in the pursuit of being diverse in your own personal goals and life pursuits, you know, you really need to, once again, take a self-assessment and see what's going to make me happy, not what's necessarily going to put food on the table. And that's something that you always need to, you know, be cognizant of. But what's really going to make me happy? You know, for example, myself, I'm an attorney, but I chose to be an entrepreneur also. Now, will I return to the practice of law? Maybe. No, but more than likely in a capacity as perhaps a solo practitioner to practice law the way that I want to, you know, and take the cases that I would like to take, you know, and right. You know, I encourage your listeners to just give new things a try. You never know where your hidden passions, you know, may lie. If you want to go rock climbing, try it. If you want to go skydiving, try it. If you want to go to, you know, a book reading or start writing poetry, try it. You know, you may like it, you may hate it, but at least you tried it once. You know, I encourage people to be diverse in their life's pursuits, because there's almost an infinite amount of things to pursue and to keep yourself happy and occupied, but it's up to you to have the courage to take the first step to explore those options and those opportunities.
I totally agree. I tell people all the time, no matter what you do, you can't make it through this life alive. So you might as well take full advantage of the life and the time that you have in it. One of the other things that I wanted to talk to you about, and you seem to be very versed in this and have a good understanding of it, is the importance of networking and building relationships and always keeping in mind what you can do for others.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a big fan of networking. A lot of people, you know, they don't like that term networking. But, you know, I think it's a useful activity. You know, having done business development myself for the past few years, I can say that, you know, what works for me personally is meeting people face-to-face. I think that networking and building relationships with other professionals is the best way to build your base of supporters and those whom you can support for mutual and personal and professional success. You know, when I go to networking functions, my goal is never, you know, what can I get from somebody else or what can I get from you? My goal is, how can I help the people that I'm going to meet, and what can I do to contribute to their success? You know, personally, I find great satisfaction in making introductions. I think you share this passion as well, making introductions to people who can benefit and profit from new connections. You know, I truly get a thrill from introducing those who, for instance, you know, create and manufacture widgets to the ideal customer who is the end user of widgets. You know, when I can make this connection so that there is mutual benefit for both parties, you know, I feel like I've contributed to the success of not only one person, but two people in my network. You know, I feel that creates goodwill and positive energy from both sides, and that comes back to you, you know, many times when you least expect it but need it the most. You know, again, building solid relationships in the industry is the key to success, and I always make it a point to show genuine care and concern to those in my network and let them know that I really, truly want them to experience success in their chosen career paths. Now, once again, I make it always a point to end conversations and meetings with people in my network with 9 magic words. What can I do for you this time? What can I do for you this time? What can I do for you this time? I think there's no greater thing than to be able to serve others. And I try to not only do that in my personal life, but once again, in my professional life as well.
Outstanding. Well, it's definitely the giver's gain thing is a thing that a lot of people don't understand, but those that truly use it and truly understand networking and understand that it's not net sitting, it's not net eating, it's actually not net selling, it's networking is huge, because it's the VCP mindset, visibility, credibility, and profitability. So that's definitely huge. So next thing, could you tell us, we've kind of got a little bit of your personal goals and your life pursuits, but could you give us just a little bit more of where you see your business, again, in the next 5 years, 10 years? I like to use the Japanese term, the next 100 years.
Well, I would like the writer Silo to be the premier online resource for all self-publishing authors. Now, initially, I'm focusing the Silo's goals on assisting self-published authors for their books, whether there be nonfiction or fiction, but I like to expand that at some point for authors who want to, you know, write magazine articles or to have their own magazines as well, and to contribute articles to maybe scientific publications. You know, I want to start in the first stages of just books and then expand outwards. And once again, I want the Writer Silo to be the premier online, you know, resource for those self-published authors who have important things to say, but they don't necessarily know how to get to their ideal audience and how to say them. I want the Writer Silo to make the process as clear and as transparent as possible so that people can choose, hey, I just have something to say, I want people to hear, or hey, this is what I want to do for my career. I want to be a self-published author. I want to provide those resources, and I want to empower people to have the ability to write what they want to write and say what they want to say.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it from Robert Brown's mouth to your ears. And, again, this is a serious young man that plans to do great things. He's also definitely a professional. I've actually met with him in person, and we've met a couple of times and talked. And, again, share his information because he's definitely somebody that you want to know and need to know. I'd also like to thank Business Negotiators One. They also have a blog talk show, and they're listening. So if you're interested in any of their shows, just like us, they put out a lot of really useful and phenomenal information for business owners. And again, Alan, as always, I thank you for listening. And, of course, please tell your partner I said hello. But, again, that's Business Negotiators One, and they have a show on Blog Talk and our guests. And we're getting close to actually wrapping up the show, so we're just about out of time. But, Robert, is there any other things that you want to share with us? And you got it.
Well, V, I want to give a special thanks to you for inviting me to your show. I think it's a great honor and a great privilege. I think when you and I met a few months ago, I had no idea that I would be a guest on your radio show. I don't even think I knew at the time that you had a radio show, but I'm really thankful and happy that I met you. I want to continue to network with you, be a resource to you, and I want to thank all of your listeners for giving me the opportunity to share my vision for the Writer Silo. And once again, I invite you all to be a part of my network and to go to the Writer Silo and to basically follow your dreams and then don't let anything get in your way.
That's it. That's it. Everybody has greatness within them. We just have to realize it and then take the actions to get there. And remember, it's not how you get there, it's that you get there. And remembering the things that you did that didn't get you there so that you can remember the things and do the things that do get you there. Again, the first thing starts off, like what Robert said, is with belief in yourself and then following that up with continuous and repeated action. Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Your grave site should say dead and used up. The cure to cancer is sitting in some graveyard. The cure to a whole bunch of different diseases and ailments and all of that thing, and all of those things, excuse me, are in some graveyard because somebody that had the knowledge did not take the action. So, ladies and gentlemen, please take the actions. Please get in contact with Robert and learn more about his business and how he can help you or help your friends. Again, this is the Zurian Show, and understand this. If you're not listening, all we're doing is talking to ourselves. So whether you're listening live or you're listening later on, understand that we're with you and we're there to bring you quality information. Robert, thank you very much for listening. Thanks to Glenn for giving you all that information that he gives you, and thanks to everybody else. You are part of the solution if you're taking action with the information, because if the information dies with you, it's useless. Again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show saying thank you to everybody. Thank you to Robert. Thank you to Glenn. Thank you to Alan for listening. And, of course, Business Networkers One, excuse me, Business Negotiators One. I'm having a hard time talking today, but then we're all human, right? All right. Thank you very much, everybody. And, again, have a blessed day. And we all wish you much success.